You would or you are?
I am.
Denying
I would,
what?
I am, I are.
Do you want to make this Exhibit A or?
Exhibit A, January 22nd, 2018.
Second. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
The next court order I have is personal property paid abatements, which is a refund on personal property. It's abatement number 300224. And I believe I didn't have very good notes on this one, but the vehicle was not owned on January 1st. Of the year, so it was taken off of the bill.
It was sold in 15, so this is 416.
This is 416.
I will exhibit B. That's today's date. Do you have any questions on it?
No.
Move to approve exhibit B, dated 1/22/18.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. MoDOT monthly update.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
I haven't seen you guys in a while, and it's the start of a new legislative year, so I've got all kinds of things. And the start of a new construction year. Of course, we're following legislative developments closely, we always do. This year, as in many years past, there is legislation being pushed forward for primary seatbelt use, no texting and driving, that I'm going to call it that. There's several bills out there that are associated with that, and also funding bills. And so obviously we, with relation to public safety, we're obviously interested in the seatbelt usage and the phone usage or no phone usage during driving. And then obviously from a funding standpoint, we're interested in all the bills coming forward proposing different types of funding. A lot of this is based on, I don't know if you remember or not, but the legislature had formed a task force this last year called the 21st Century Missouri Transportation System Task Force. And they had rounded up their work at the end of the year. They'd met all over the state and had several meetings. Their summary document is out there, I believe, on the legislature's website if you want to look at it. But basically, they came forward with recommendations that included a 10-cent increase in the fuel tax, normal gas tax, and a 12-cent increase in the diesel fuel tax. As well as increases in registration fees for electric vehicles and electric charging stations, and revising the fees that are put forth on vehicle registration currently. Similar to the gas tax, the vehicle registration fees haven't been increased in many, many years, back to the 90s. So they're recommending both of those things. In addition, they're also encouraging the use of public-private partnerships to try to get some projects done. And they're coming forward on the public safety side with recommending passing of legislation banning distracted driving and establishing a primary seatbelt law, and also upgrading the graduated driver's license training requirements. So So I didn't have a handout on the upgraded, the graduated driver's license, but the ones in front of you are for the seatbelt usage and the distracted driving or no texting type of legislation. Obviously, we can't lobby for any of these, but since we are the department that involves public safety, we're trying to get the statistics that we have out there to as many people as we can, so that when these things come up, you know, you can have a educated opinion and you know some of the stats that are out there. So that's just what these two handouts are, is just kind of a summary of the crash statistics and both national and state statistics on the likelihood of being in a crash or the likelihood of having a fatal crash, whether it be distracted driving with a cell phone or the lack of a seatbelt. But obviously, I think we all know that both of those things increase your risk of being in an accident, and obviously the seatbelt usage, if you don't use your seatbelt, it obviously increases your odds of dying in a crash. So those are very important to us. We internally keep track of statistics on, especially on the fatalities and seatbelt usage every week. And we get statistics from the Highway Patrol because they are the agency that actually, you know, receives all that information on crashes, and they send the information to us, and then we glean through it for information on seatbelt usage, distracted driving, drunk driving, that type of thing, so we know where to focus our efforts. So those two things. I talked about the task force.
Can I ask something on the cell phones? I understand the texting, but on the cell phones, do you know if the legislation is addressing hands-free or just no cell phone at all?
I left it kind of generic because there's several different bills. So they're all over the board as far as the level of, from a personal standpoint, the state of Missouri, well, Department of Transportation in the state of Missouri, we have a no phones policy. You know, I can't use my phone at all in our vehicle. Okay. But I believe most of the legislation that's being put forward would be like a Bluetooth technology type of thing, where you could still use your phone, but not hands-free technology. Basically.
The states I'm familiar with, it's just hands-free.
Yeah, and like I said, there's different bills out there, so they really run the gamut, but I'd say the majority of them favor a hands-free type of situation. This is our most recent construction guide. Just came out in January. You see Taney County is towards the back. It's alphabetical. And so what we've got coming up in the county is obviously we've got continuing construction on the bridges on 76, both the smaller bridges in the eastern part of the county, and then obviously the Bull Shoals Bridge here. The Bull Shoals Bridge, I was just reading our news release that we came up with this morning. It sounds like, depending on if they can get access, because it looks like it's really wet and muddy out there. But they are going to start setting girders on the north end, you know, depending on whether they can get access. They may have to bring some gravel and stuff in to get it kind of to the point where they can drive vehicles in and out of there. But they were planning on starting to set girders on that very first stretch right there on the north end. Obviously, they're continuing to build on the south end to get access to the bridge on the south end. And we're continuing to work on the footings on each of the vents along the lake bed. And part of that is testing. We drive the steel piles in some locations, and we do the what they call drilled shafts in others. And it's all based on what type of geology we hit when we start. We did some testing early on, took some core samples early on, and trying to determine which footings were, you know, which type of footing would be needed based on the geology. They've gotten out there, and really, I'd say maybe a couple of the footings have actually stayed the same as what we had anticipated, and I think the rest of them have probably gotten switched around some, because we've hit different geology than what was anticipated in that location. The good news is that it's all, the methods we're using out in the field are all methods that were bid by the contractor. It's just that we're having to swap some things around because we didn't have enough rock in one spot, so we had to go to a drill shaft, and in other spots we hit more solid rock than we thought we would, so we ended up switching over to, you know, piling instead. So it's just whichever method works best in that location. So they'll continue to do testing on those, make sure everything is stable and good, and keep moving forward. Haven't heard anything as far as, you know, the anticipated schedule for doing the connection on the south end. We're really too far out yet with the weather and everything for them to make a good projection. I know I keep getting feedback from the community that, you know, the sooner the better, that they know when we're going to do that. We're still anticipating that that's probably going to fall right around, you know, the end of summer, beginning of fall. You know, not sure exactly where that's going to fall with the start of school. So, but as they progress this winter, we'll know more, and getting closer to that. I do know that I'm still getting feedback on, you know, the discussions we had early on about the 2 weeks that we had given them for closure. I know that they won't need 2 weeks, but I just don't know how many days that they will need. The 2 weeks that we put in the contract was basically our best estimate if the paving went concrete, because we had to bid it. Since it was a small amount of the paving, we had to bid it as an alternate. It could be either or. And they ended up going asphalt, so the asphalt won't have to have that cure time and different things that you'd have with concrete. So we know that's going to shorten the time. We just don't know how much, and we're still not close enough yet to really have them put a good game plan together to see what we can do there. I know we're going to work very hard with them, you know, especially based on the community feedback we got. Work very hard with them to see if, you know, if it's something that we can do over a weekend or something like that to try to minimize impacts. So we're very cognizant of that. It's just that we do have to get the work done too. So, I mean, we've done everything we can to minimize the impact of the community, you know, making the investment in a parallel structure and leaving the other structure open, because we realized how impactful it was. So we're going to make every effort to make sure that moves forward with minimal impacts. So, looked like we were very close to completion on the Kentucky Creek Bridge. I'm going to go look at it today just to kind of get eyes on it. I haven't been out there in a while. But I was reading through the construction notes from a couple of weeks ago, and it sounded like they were working on the walls along the side of the bridge. So I don't think it's open yet, but it sounds like it had to be pretty close. So I haven't seen any news releases, so I'm assuming it's not open yet, but getting close. And then our overlay program for the summer will be, I like it, makes it easy for me. We're doing T, O, and Y. I should be able to remember that. overlays this summer. And so when we bid those to the asphalt contractors, we basically give them the entire construction season so that we get the best bids. So basically they've got from about mid-March to approximately November to commit to that work. Once we sit down with them at a pre-con, I'll know more about when they actually want to do that work, but I don't expect even a pre-construction conference until spring, so unless they decide to try to go early, and then we might have one in March. But we'll know more on that later. I wanted to let you guys know we're doing something new for our district. It's not new to the transportation safety community, but it's something new that our district had never done before. We did a roadway safety audit of routes F and 160, because traditionally we, in our district, they're one of the highest crash rate corridors in the entire district. And so that roadway safety audit was basically getting together a group of the traffic safety professionals, myself, highway patrol, our maintenance staff, and just kind of going through all the known accidents over a 5-year period, and then anything that we remembered past, that we took a 5-year window of data, looked at it, and then drove the alignment repeatedly and kind of got out, looked at stuff, trying to figure out what we can do in the future to make safety improvements along that alignment and make them the most impactful. What we're running into, which we kind of already knew, is that we've got some sets of curves that we know are, you know, tend to give people the most challenges, but we also have some intersections and some, you know, odd little things that are thrown in, several deer hits that we don't really think we can do much about, but we're trying to figure out where to focus those safety funds in the future. It'll be an ongoing discussion. We